man, this Chris Rock thing will not end. But first, late night, there's been some pushback to the story from North Carolina Congressman Madison Cawthorn. Cawthorn made some extraordinary claims that his Republican colleagues in Congress are orgy-frequently degenerates with a fondness for hard drugs. Oh my, Stephen Colbert said, given the average age of the GOP, I assume they're snorting Boniva. Never a good thing when I have to look up a joke. Boniva apparently is a drug you take for osteoporosis. Now the joke makes sense, Stephen Colbert. I shouldn't have to do that. Seth Meyers says, come on, man. Do you really expect us to believe that Congress could plan and execute an orgy? At best, I could see them announcing an exploratory committee that would begin to investigate the feasibility of an orgy at a later date. House GOP leader Kevin McCarthy called Cawthorn into his office, maybe hoping to score an invite or to tell him to stop narking. Colbert. Dan Crenshaw of Texas says, it does paint the picture here that isn't accurate. Colbert said, thank God, because that picture is too awful to be real. I've interviewed 80 members of Congress and I'd have sex with 2.5 of them. Not at the same time, of course. I'm not in the GOP. Great joke, Seth. The whole group of pro-Trump toadies is so weird and loathsome, like Senator Ted Cruz, for example, who, I'm going to go out on a limb here, wasn't invited to the orgy. Seth, please don't name names, because all the names go with faces we know. Also, I gotta say, if they were having orgies and doing cocaine, I would actually find that impressive. I mean, they're all 70 and 80 years old. If you told me Chuck Grassley was snorting blow and boning nonstop, I'd be like, damn, maybe he's more with it than I thought. At Chris Rock's show on Thursday night, an audience member yelled out, F Will Smith. Rock did not engage with the Will Smith chants on the first night. On the Thursday night show, he responded by immediately shutting it down, saying no, 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 no. The New York Post says Boston resident Emily DePina was escorted out of the show. She had front row seats and is quoted as saying, I didn't do nothing. I didn't do S word. Yeah, I'm drinking. Yes, I had 4 shots. I don't give an F. I'll be honest. I paid $80 before this S happened. We weren't heckling Chris Rock. We had front row seats. We were endorsing him, responding to his jokes. He was interacting with us, but security took us out. They came to us about 3 times. The first time, they said we were too loud, that we couldn't interact with someone on stage. The second time, they said we were heckling him. The third time, we switched seats, and then I got kicked out. Emily's friend said all we did was interact and respond to the comedian. They're so afraid that someone's going to say something that they kicked us out before we could. The New York Post has some pixelated photos of the duo, and it's pixelated, so I'm not sure. It appears to me like they're giving the finger to the photographer. So I read the story. Make up your own mind. Boston resident Christian Williams was at the 10 p.m. show and said some guy was heckling Chris, and he said, is that Oscar security? That's funny. Also from the New York Post, new footage that wasn't seen on the Oscars broadcast has now been posted on TikTok. That's right. The clip zooms in on Chris Rock, who appears to be in shock following the incident. He looks around as he attempts to comprehend what the heck just happened, and at one point looks to an unknown person in the audience and makes a face as if to suggest he isn't sure why Smith slapped him. Now remember, after all that, Chris Rock actually had to give out an award. Well, one of the award winners, not at all happy with Chris Rock from IndieWire. Chris Rock was announcing the best documentary category. Rock proceeded to list the award as going to Amir Thompson and 4 White Guys for Summer of Soul. One of those quote-unquote 4 White Guys is Joseph Patel. The Hollywood Reporter says on March 30th, Patel tweeted that he was angry not only with Smith for having robbed the entire category of its once-in-a-lifetime Oscars moment, but also with Chris Rock for the 4 White Guys comment, which Chris Rock had allegedly said the night before as well. The producer explained why the joke rubbed him the wrong way. He said, the reason that makes me, caps, so, so very angry, uncaps, is because I was so proud to be one of a handful of South Asians to ever have won an Oscar in the history of the award. I was ecstatic that I was the 3rd South Asian to win that night after Riz Ahmed and Anil Kharia won earlier in the night. That's never happened before, and it's meaningful. It's history. Patel assured his followers that he can take a joke, but not in that moment. Quote, what an crappy, cleaned it up, disrespectful thing to do. All caps. And here's the thing, uncaps. It wasn't that Chris Rock was under stress. He made the same joke the night before on stage at Roots Jam. Once we realized the Chris Rock-Will Smith interaction wasn't a bit, everything got turned upside down. Everybody was still trying to make sense of it when Chris persevered and started to read the nominees. I think what Will did was selfish. It robbed the category of its moment. It robbed the other excellent and amazing films of their moment to be acknowledged in what was a strong year for docs. And it robbed Summer of Soul and our team of our moment of a loud, enthusiastic cheer for a celebrated film. Patel continued. What I didn't hear in that moment walking a stage, but was told afterwards, is what Chris Rock said when reading our name from the winner's card. The winner is Summer of Soul, Amir Questlove Thompson, and four white guys, now in all caps. What in the actual F? Question mark, question mark, question mark, question mark, question mark. Patel ended the thread, saying he won't be watching the ceremony. Thank you, Chris, you absolute effing D-word. What both Will and Chris did really stained what should have been a beautiful moment for us. Patel later deleted the thread and then tweeted, we reached the unproductive portion of the viral Twitter thread, so I've deleted it. I said what I needed to say and feel at peace with it. Some of y'all are weirdos. Oh, there's more. Oscars producer Will Packer was on Good Morning America on Friday. He explained why Will Smith was not removed from the show. By the way, you ever start a comedy podcast and you thought it was going to be about like, hey guys, Hannibal Buress is coming to Cleveland this weekend. Hannibal said, nope, that's not what we're doing at all, apparently. Oscars producer Will Packer said Chris Rock has made it clear that he does not want to make a bad situation worse. He confirmed that the joke Rock made about Jada Pinkett Smith was unscripted, Packer said. He didn't tell one of the planned jokes. He was immediately freestyling. But Packer wasn't concerned. Even when he saw Smith take the stage, he, like everyone in the room, assumed it was a bit. Once I saw Will yelling at the stage with such vitriol, my heart dropped, and I remember thinking, oh no, not like this. Chris was keeping his head when everybody else was losing theirs. My heart was just in my stomach because of everything about it and what it represented and what it looked like and who was involved, all that. I've never felt so immediately devastated like I did in that moment. When Rock walked off stage, Packer confirmed with Rock that Smith had really hit him. Rock joked, I just took a punch from Muhammad Ali. Rock insisted he was fine. The LAPD came into Packer's office and were, quote, laying out very clearly what Chris's rights are. They were saying, this is battery. We'll go get him. We're prepared. We're prepared to get him right now. You can press charges. We'll arrest him. Can you imagine if Will Smith were arrested on live TV in the middle of the Oscars? Think about how much we're talking about this now. Imagine that. Packer says Rock was being very dismissive of those options, reiterating that he was fine. Packer said, even to the point where I said, Rock, let him finish. The cops asked Chris, would they like them to take action? Chris Rock said, no. Packer said they were about to physically remove Smith. Slightly unclear what they is. I think that means the producers of the Oscars. The quote, I immediately went to the Academy leadership that was on site and I said, Chris Rock doesn't want that. Rock has made it clear he doesn't want to make a bad situation worse. That was Chris's image. His tone was not retaliatory. His tone was not aggressive and angry. And so I was advocating for what Chris Rock wanted at that time, which was not to physically remove Will Smith at that time, because, as it's now been explained to me, that was the only option at that point. It's been explained to me that there was a conversation that I was not part of to ask him to voluntarily leave. Will Smith reached out to Oscars producer Will Packer personally the following morning to apologize ahead of his public apology. Packer says Will Smith said, that should have been a gigantic moment for you, and he expressed his embarrassment. And that was the extent of it. I think what many of us were hoping is that he would go on the stage and make it better. It couldn't be made right in the moment because of what happened, but I think we were hoping that he would stand on the stage and say, what just happened minutes ago was absolutely and completely wrong. Chris Rock, I'm so sorry. Please forgive me. That's what I was hoping for. I felt like he was going to win, and I was hoping that if he stayed, he would say that. Packer says because of what Smith did say in the speech, he regrets that Will Smith stayed. Now you don't have the optics of somebody who committed this act, didn't nail it in terms of a conciliatory acceptance speech in the moment, who then happened to be in the room. Packer praised Rock for how he handled the slap. It gave us license in a way to continue the show, which is what we were trying to do. He certainly saved what was left of the show. George Lopez took a break from his tacos business to weigh in on this. He spoke to People and said, I think what Wanda Sykes said on Ellen was very, very powerful. They've been friends for a long time, and a comedian never really wants to show their vulnerability. And I could tell that in Wanda that it's affected her deeply that one of her best friends was struck like that. As for the current state of comedy, George Lopez says, well, nobody's been able to take a joke for the last 5 or 6 years. So moving forward, I think that people will feel like they're able to stand up and do what they want. You come to enjoy a show, not make a statement. Switching topics, Jared Carmichael will host SNL tonight. His comedy special debuted on HBO Max last night. There was a surprise in it for everybody. Major spoilers here if you want to skip ahead. Jared Carmichael said, I'm happy you're here. I'm really happy you're here. I'm happy all of you are here. I have so much to tell you. This only works if we feel like family. He said that Jared Carmichael is not his real name and also revealed that he's gay. He began with his family story. I want to talk about secrets. Secrets, you should whisper it, right? I carried so many secrets my whole life, I feel like I was birthed into them. One of my last held secrets is my name. My name is not Jared. Welcome to the show, everybody. After a long pause, he looks up the audience and says, the secret is I'm gay. He talks about his friends' reactions, his family's quiet, and what it means to be a black comic who, I'm cleaning this up here, likes to perform X. When the audience applauds, he scoffs and says, I feel like I didn't earn it. It's like, what did I do? And I can't clean up the punchline. Obviously told much better. The punch there is, what did I do? Perform act on a Dominican. Earlier this week, Carmichael was at Union Hall in Brooklyn. He joked he was the least famous person to ever host SNL, and all he had to do to get the gig was come out of the closet. He said he hasn't talked to his mother in months, although he once did every day. He asked the audience what he should talk about on his SNL monologue. Somebody yelled gas prices, Jared said. I've been rich too long. Another person mentioned the feud between Kanye West and Pete Davidson. Carmichael said he knew both of them through discussions about mental health and suicide, and then he joked, but now, every time I hear about either one of them, I want to kill myself. From The Hollywood Reporter, the Razzie Awards announced a decision to rescind a worst performance honor. That honor had been given to Bruce Willis earlier in the month. In a statement, after much thought and consideration, the Razzies have made the decision to rescind the Razzie Award given to Bruce Willis due to his recently disclosed diagnosis. If someone's mental condition is a factor in their decision-making and or their performance, we acknowledge that it's not appropriate to give them a Razzie. The Razzies, which are a parody award show and typically honor the worst underachievements in cinema, had nominated Willis for 7 other roles, making the worst performance category completely focused on Bruce Willis. So one of the many things I do is I'm the writer on the podcast Palace Intrigue. That's where we talk about the royal family. One of the big stories last week was the memorial for Prince Philip. You know who was there? If you're a fan of the TV show Peep Show, Big Suze. If you haven't seen Peep Show, it is a wonderfully hilarious sitcom. You'll find it on Hulu. One of the characters, Big Suze. Why was Big Suze at Prince Philip's memorial? Apparently, actress Sophie Winkleman is married to Lord Frederick Windsor. Lord Frederick Windsor's father is the Queen's cousin, Prince Michael of Kent. Palace Intrigue, wherever you get your shows. From Thrillist, comedian Whitner Thomas explains the twisted history of the Joker. Whitner Thomas said, I had the Adam West movie. I love this guy, and I love the shark scene, too. I think he's a wacky guy. I would watch it, but even as a kid, I wasn't satisfied by this Batman, but I like that Robin was in it. And you gotta love this Joker. He's the funniest Joker, probably. Maybe not. It's funny that he's wearing board shorts. Actually, now that I think about it, he's the funniest Joker. Why is he wearing shorts over his Joker suit? This is a problem I've got with the Joker in general. In the new takes, everybody wants to make Joker a weird creep, but the interesting take is to make him more of a Broadway pretentious New Yorker, funny, articulate, conversational person. I agree. I think that would be the coolest way to do Joker. Heath Ledger is probably the funniest Joker, or maybe Jack Nicholson, but Cesar Romero is pretty funny. I mean, look at him in his shorts. I would watch him growing up, and I have memories of not having cable, and this would come on some random channel, and I would love it. I also like the movie because all the villains were hanging out and goofing off together. It's funny to me that all these tech, crypto, Bitcoin bros love Joker. In a way, I'm like, The Dark Knight is one of the best movies ever, and Joker represents upsetting the established order. I wonder how those guys feel about Bernie Sanders. He's kind of like the Joker in a way. To me, he's pretty cool. I know in their mind, they're like, Bitcoin's going to change everything. It's just like the Joker. And if you watch Dark Knight, especially now, that whole trilogy is so pro-cop. So I'm Team Joker and Team Bane a little bit. Love that. That was fantastic. All right, if you're in Melbourne at the International Comedy Festival tonight, you probably already missed this show because of the way time zones work. The show to see is Adita Gautam. Born and raised in Delhi, Adita says he's the living embodiment of why you shouldn't listen to your parents. He might not be funny, talented, or rich, but he makes up for it with his good looks. After performing in sold-out shows at the Adelaide Fringe, he's now bringing tales of racism, Ubers, prison, Indian penises, and much more to Melbourne. You don't want to miss out on the best Indian tales ever told on stage. You don't see too many shows about Ubers and Indian penises, I'll tell you that. And another comedian I like a lot is Richard Ayoade. He is in the sitcom The It Crowd, if you've never seen that. He also hosted a show called Travel Man that I absolutely love. They have picked up another season of his quiz show Question Team, in which 3 comedians must bring a unique round of questions inspired by their own interests for Ayoade and the other guests to answer. Some of the comedians who have done this show in the past include James Acaster, Nish Kumar, Catherine Ryan. So if you ever come across Question Team on the interwebs, check it out. If you want to feel for Richard's humor, here's the money quote. Love this. Richard said, I'm beyond thrilled to be providing a, quote, pantomiming genuine excitement with whatever I'm meant to be promoting. Love it. And that's your comedy news for today, right? Normal episode tomorrow. Follow the show for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Overcast, wherever you get your shows. If you'd like the show early and commercial free, become a premium subscriber on Apple Podcasts for $5 a month. See you tomorrow.